are. We love our Monday mornings with Ian Rappaport. We kicked it back a few minutes. Ian had some work to do, some breaking news. The NFL never sleeps. And the 49ers didn't sleep last night after a rough loss to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, 30-28, last second field goal. Ian, welcome back to the Murph and Mac Show on the UMA guest line. How you doing this morning, Ian?
Hey.
I'm good. What's going on? Sorry I had to delay things. I was staring at the C.J. Henderson trade in my Twitter, you know, the thing where, like, you're about to hit send, but you haven't actually hit send yet. I was just waiting on the final word, and I don't want to be talking to you guys while staring at my computer screen intently.
Well, you're a good man doing your thing. By the way, so what is that trade? Niners need corners. How come they didn't get one?
this was kind of a hefty price for a corner. So this is the trade. It is C.J. Henderson, who, you know, former first-round pick, very, very high-end talent. He goes to the Carolina Panthers along with a fifth-round pick in exchange for Dan Arnold, who, you know, was like a number two tight end in Carolina, pretty nice player, and a third-round pick. So it's basically a swap of mid-round picks and Dan Arnold for C.J. Henderson. And, you know, for the Carolina Panthers, they're 3-0. They are good. They are building. Scott Fitterer, the former Seattle Seahawks, you know, assistant GM type who clearly learned how to trade from John Schneider, is literally, as he said, in on every single trade. And this was, you know, this was a big move. This was a big one.
Why would the Jags be trading him?
You know, I would say this was one that was kind of a long time coming. You know, there were times at camp where he was kind of away from, you know, the facility for personal reasons. He was kind of dealing with some stuff, and then he would show up and kind of wouldn't be into it. And I know the team worked really hard to kind of get him back in the fold and get on the same page. But, you know, they kind of shopped him in the offseason as well. So I think they – you know, I don't think they felt great about him. And remember, like, this is a new regime. So even though he's a first-round pick and a really, really high-end talent, this isn't the group that drafted him. So, you know, I'm not sure they were maybe as invested as the previous regime might have been.
Jags is trying to do something to distract from their 0-3 start. But let's talk about Sunday Night Football, man. Ian, we're sitting here just staring at Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur and his icy handshake with Kyle Shanahan and all the drama and Aaron Rodgers saying, how can you not be romantic about football? And we're sitting here on the other side saying, I'll tell you how.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you how. Well, you tell us.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the 49, I mean, I know it was a loss and nobody likes more victories, but I felt like they played well, right? I mean, look, they got beat by two of the best players in the game, right? Like, everyone knew Davante Adams was getting the ball. And if you look at the way the Niners handled it, they knew Davante Adams was getting the ball. I mean, he catches that last one. I think it was the last one. Yeah, he catches the last one where he kind of sits down and then, you know, runs the ball in the middle of the field. Catches it with four Niners around him. So it's like everyone knew that the two best players on the field were going to take over. Sometimes you get beat by really good players. And obviously the 49ers lost, so that's bad. But they drove down and essentially won it with their offense. Like, Jimmy G had a moment. Like, they had a nice drive. I mean, I thought they you know, almost won it. So, like, you saw enough if you're a 49ers fan to be like, all right, this is going to be a good season. Like, yes, we lost to Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. We're both awesome. But there was enough positives where this really should be okay.
Boy, we need you, Ian, because everybody here is upset. Yeah, you know, falling behind 17-0.
His point, you know, Ian, you raise a good point, though, and I agree with you. I thought Garoppolo showed a lot of guts and heart last night, and, you know, being in the hole like that against Aaron Rodgers, most guys aren't even going to come back to, let alone tie the game, forget taking the lead.
Right.
But I thought that the key elements that they're really, you know, there was no pass rush on Rodgers last night. There wasn't effective. I mean, they didn't really get their hands on him. And you give Rodgers that kind of time with a depleted secondary, he's going to get his surgeon mask on, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that was Rodgers' sort of fault, though. He got rid of the ball, and they did a great job of detailing this on TV. He got rid of the ball so fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he knew, and I don't, you know, there were times last night when the Packers' offense was kind of disjointed. It didn't really look like itself, and I kept thinking it was because he had to get rid of the ball so fast. So, like, you're not going to get sacks when you have a, you know, third-string left tackle who, like, really was, you know, God bless him, was really just trying to get in Nick Bosa's way. Like, Rodgers had to get rid of the ball way faster than they wanted, so their offense didn't even look normal. But, you know, when you play pitch and catch at the end of the game and you got Rodgers and Devontae Adams, like, sometimes you're going to get that. So I think the lack of pass rush was really the Packers being like, we can't drop back at all. We're just going to take one step and fling it every time.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, joining us here. Always a good Monday morning spin here. And, you know, listen, one of the big stories coming into this entire season, if not the biggest, was your five rookie quarterbacks. And Trevor Lawrence is 0-3. Zach Wilson and the Jets are a long way away from finding anything. Yeah. Justin Fields was, like, historically under siege yesterday. The Browns sacked him 9 times.
That was abusive.
I mean, Mac Jones lost, but he looks like he's at least standing up. And then you got Trey Lance. And I'm wondering, Ian, what you'll think this week in your calls is, you know, he ran that ball in, kind of crazy, just 7 seconds to go. On he comes. It was shocked everybody. And Trent Williams pancakes a guy. But the question is I wonder
Trent
if you're...
Trent Williams block. I could not have watched that Trent Williams block more.
Yeah. Poor Stokes.
So anyway, go ahead.
But I was going to say, when, you know, you start wondering, is, you know, yeah, Jimmy G, he also fumbled the ball in the fourth quarter in a bad play. But I'm wondering, when you start wondering what Shanahan's plan is for Trey Lance, and when does he start ramping him up?
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
I kind of feel like, because of what we see around the league, which is Zach Wilson struggling, you know, Trevor Lawrence is, I would say, okay, not great, has his moments, kind of like you'd expect. Fields struggled mightily. Mac Jones has been up and down, had a rough day yesterday. To me, it actually lends credence to what Kyle Shanahan is doing and actually what the Bears wanted to do with Justin Fields, which is he is not ready. That is okay. It's no crime. He's very talented. So we're going to mix him in and put him in position to succeed only, and that's the only time you're going to see him. Like, I feel like this sort of solidifies what the 49ers are doing with Trey Lance, because it basically, like, it, you know, it's basically like we're only going to put him out there in a way that is going to have him succeed.
Well, that's interesting, and that's a pretty good point. I mean, for people, because, you know, fans are fans, right? And when Jimmy has a 3-and-out, or when Jimmy throws that pick in the first half, or when Jimmy fumbles in the fourth quarter, everybody, get him out of here! That's fans. But you're saying, whoa, 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 right. You seen Zach Wilson? You seen Justin Fields?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So every you're saying, big picture, baby, be a little more patient.
Well, big picture, but also, yeah, I mean, yes, but in the short term, this is also working very well, right? Like, it's almost like everything Trey Lance does has been good, because everything they run is a play designed just for him in a way that's going to have him get success, and in a way where, you know, he runs onto the field, the other team's like, oh, well, wow, we got to change up something. What are we looking for? You know, it's like early on in the Taysom Hill days, where the Saints had success because people were like, we don't know what we're looking for, and it's a change, and it's on the fly. Like, they benefit from kind of running him out. I feel like if you had him out there full-time right now, you may not get all those benefits.
So, Ian, you had a really good story over the weekend about Rodgers, and so, you know, there's an ISO cam going around on Twitter of him just really enjoying that kick by Mason Crosby. Of course,
yeah,
it's an
awesome
NFL game. Matt LaFleur was caught on camera swearing towards the Niners sideline.
Yeah, a lot of emotion. Kyle was emotional, too, the other way.
Yeah. Can you maybe – how much is this going to be on your agenda to get into LaFleur, Kyle, Roger? Because, I mean, for LaFleur to be so upset, you're reporting that Rodgers wanted to be a 49er.
Well, yeah. I mean, that is my information. It is correct. That was the place where he wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And – I don't, you know, the thing Packers fans sort of need to remember is, yes, he wanted to go to San Francisco, and yes, it was, you know, sort of San Francisco that had the first crack at it when Kyle calls LaFleur, but at that point, Rodgers also wanted to go anywhere. So it's not even a shot on, it has to do with the 49ers, and it doesn't, because really he just wanted out at that point. So, like, it's not the 49ers' fault that they were sort of the prettiest person in the whatever. Like, it's the Packers' fault that Rodgers wanted to leave at that point. I really don't think the 49ers did anything wrong. And I don't really love the, as far as like storylines, like it's fun for talk radio and I listen to talk radio, but I don't love reporting on the storylines of like rifts and friendships or like this coach doesn't like this coach, because it is so emotional. It is so intense. Guys will scream at each other and then go out and have a beer later. So like, was there tension? Like, yeah, there was tension. Are both those guys going to get over it? Like, I think they're going to be fine. Like, you know, I've been yelled at by both of these coaches, and everybody's fine. You know, it's really, it's just the world, you know?
Who's the worst yeller, by the way? Who's it worse to be on the receiving end of a tirade?
Just those two?
Yeah, those two guys.
Well, I don't know. The problem with Kyle is, and Kyle and I are completely fine, but there was definitely there was definitely some time when he was not thrilled with me. And the problem is...
We've been there, too.
He's very smart, and he's, like, very cutting.
Yeah.
So he does it in kind of like a...
He does.
A way where you can't argue with it.
Yeah, he is. No, he's very clever. You know? Yeah, yeah.
So, and I mean, then this, you know, he's kind of funny, and he also speaks the truth, like, basically all the time.
True. Yeah,
for better or worse.
Yeah.
So you sort of just have to wear it, because whatever he's saying... Yeah. Definitely true.
Right.
That's hilarious.
That was good.
Hey, can we get you to power rank across the league? Who's like when the guy who has the most the reddest of asses? Which NFL coach can unload the most?
On me or in general?
Just on you, in your experience, what you've gotten in your ears. Yeah.
You know, I don't know, because the problem is like once you get someone on the phone, like they'll yell at you, but then it always ends up being a conversation because most of these guys know like it doesn't. Help. I mean, it's the same with me. Like, it doesn't help for me to make enemies with a coach. It doesn't help for them to make enemies with a reporter.
Right.
So what I try to do, and, you know, this hasn't happened to me a lot recently, because when I'm going to report something that's, like, controversial, 99% of the time now I will have called the person beforehand to tell them what I'm going to report. Whereas I would say the first 5 years doing this, I didn't do that.
Yes, I hear you.
But I didn't realize the value of it.
Yep.
So I would report something, then get an angry phone call. Now I do the phone calls first, so that it's not angry. We just kind of talk about it before.
Yeah.
See, that's the veteran move. That's like why Trey Lance is sitting and learning. You had to sit and learn. I get it, man. I did the same thing. I made a mistake. I did some negative stuff when in my writing career, and I learned. If you're going to do it, you better give him a heads up. So, good man, good man. Oh, Ian, unfortunately, we're out of time, man. That's I want to keep going with you, but I know you had a different schedule this morning, and it was good to get your sort of calming take on the Niners. We needed it because there was some anger and some angst and some fretting and some fussing, but they beat the Seahawks next week, and
everybody will be happy.
They'll be back, you know what I mean? Things will be – they'll put the wheels back on by beating the Seahawks, right?
I think they're going to be all right. I mean, I think, honestly, considering what they were facing last night, which is the best quarterback in the NFL, I think they're probably fine.
Rap sheet.
Hey, thanks for bearing with me. I appreciate that. I was not expecting a trade.
You need to know your status. We're never going to unload on you like Kyle or LaFleur.
No, far from it, dude.
You're golden. You're part of the family, buddy.
We do. We love having you.
All righty. Go forward, Rap Sheet. Take care.
Thanks, Rap Sheet. See you, bro.
Well,
he's a gentleman first. He's a gentleman. He's a reporter. But, you know, the courtesy where, unlike former correspondents, would take care of a lot of tweets during the interview.
You're stabbing guys in the back.
I didn't say anybody's name. No, I said former correspondent.
How about
could be any number of guys.
All right, we got Giants fans are going, 90 minutes? The 102 wins? You haven't talked about them. Guess what? The next half hour is Black and Orange on KMBR 104.5 and 6 at AD Sports Leader.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
me. Yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.